Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
I would have seen Bo Dallas on Big Show. And that's sad just because of the Bo Dallas shenanigans he would have pulled.
Now, that, you and LeBar are stupid for saying that. I'm sorry.
This is total crap.
First of all, bada boom, realest guys in the world.
How you know?
Welcome to the first BS with CSR 2016. I'm Blake Mitchmore. I'm the Bull. I guess that makes my co-host Shane Shoemaker the...
Shinsuke Nakamura, and you might be hearing that name a little bit more. That's not my other name, Blake. That's the name you're going to be hearing in WWE.
That doesn't even make sense for our open, but I guess the news of the week, it helps us, so let's just get into it. The familiar sound of the Bullet Club. Does that mean the Bullet Club's coming to WWE? Well, not in name, but apparently, Shane, AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, Machine Gun Karl Anderson, and even your apparent boy, Shinsuke Nakamura, are headed to WWE.
Yeah, that's huge. That's absolutely huge news. I mean, to me, especially just for, I mean, I know I'm a big fan of AJ Styles. I'm a big fan of Nakamura, what I've saw of him. The others, I mean, I know they're part of the Bullet Club, but, I mean, they're not as much for me, but definitely Styles and Nakamura. That's some of the biggest news, I think, as far as signings in a while, I think. I mean, and what they can do, I mean, and again, WWE's even acknowledged this. They've even wrote Bullet Club and they're...
Hold on. Stop right there, because that, you know, we usually try to stay away from, you know, the rumors and stuff like that, but that's a dead giveaway. WWE, they did not say they've signed them because from what we hear, they technically have not. It's not done because they have other commitments to fulfill first. But WWE's not going to post that if it's not a real done deal. Like, it's not, you know, not imminent. They're not going to post, you know, address rumors of people coming to them if it's not going to happen. So that is your dead giveaway that this is legit. These guys' arrival in WWE is imminent, which is crazy. Because, you know, I'm not a big New Japan guy, but I do know that New Japan is really, you know, as far as on the world scale, they are probably number two. And you're looking at, I mean, four top guys from there that WWE is essentially rating. It's a, like you said, it's a big deal, and it's probably the biggest group talent acquisition in a long time in professional wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, in that, what WWE did on their, you know, they even posted this on their site, they would have never done that years ago. They would never acknowledge things like the Bullet Club. I mean, they acknowledge they are part of the Bullet Club. To me, I don't remember anything like that. Of course, years past, you know, even, you know, maybe before WCW, but, I mean, that's huge. And now the only question is, how will they possibly transition and where will they go? I mean, I know there's talk that Styles, like you said, Styles and Nakamura have signed big money deals. So, I mean, should we expect them pretty soon?
I think you're gonna see AJ at Rumble. AJ, from what I've read, AJ has ROH has done has pulled him from all advertisements. Mm-hmm. He written off of New Japan TV. I think, you know, yesterday or this morning when the Bullet Club beat him down and kicked him out. AJ's done. So I think you're gonna see AJ at Rumble. You know, Nakamura's still got to drop a title over there, and supposedly Gallows and Karl Anderson have ROH commitments to fulfill, so you may not see them for a little while, but AJ's coming in the next couple weeks, and yeah, I mean, reports say that, which kind of surprises me, I just assumed that both Nakamura and AJ would go to NXT. AJ, because he's older, and he just doesn't fit the mold of a top guy in WWE, and Nakamura, because... what's he going to do for promos? I mean, Japanese guys that can't speak traditionally don't get over in WWE, so it surprises me if they indeed are headed straight to Raw and SmackDown and they're not going to NXT.
Yeah, I will say this about Nakamura. If he's allowed to kind of present his personality like he does in New Japan, because I you know, what I've watched in New Japan, I mean, I've hardly heard him say a word, and when he has, it's all been, you know, Japanese. But the guy has charisma. I mean, the guy has this certain feel to him when he's in the ring, and he's really fun to watch. So I think he can be one of those first really transition in WWE in the recent stint. And he can make a move. I think he can, you know, make his presence known in WWE, and I think Styles could obviously do.
Well, yeah, I mean, AJ's a star in the United States. He's going to be, but it surprises me that AJ's going, obviously money talks. We all know that, but it surprises me that AJ's going to the main roster because I don't see AJ as a main event player on the main roster. I don't see him ever being WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I see him fighting in the mid card, and I mean, yes, I know technically it's developmental, but like we've all talked about, it's not really developmental anymore, and AJ could go down to NXT and have a long run as NXT champion as that brand continues to grow and that profile continues to get higher and higher. So it really surprises me if AJ is really a main roster guy, but that seems to be the way it's going. Now let's talk about Doc Gallows and Karl Anderson because I see those guys. I think they could be main roster guys as a tag team because they're a great tag team, but do they fit in better as, you know, maybe you can't use the name the Bullet Club. Well, we think, because New Japan is supposedly owns that. Are we going to see the Balor Club, which I'm sorry. No offense to Finn Balor, but I think that's a horrible name. That's a horrible ripoff of Bullet Club. It's a horrible name. But is that what we're going to see? Are we going to see Doc Gallows and Karl Anderson essentially form the WWE version of the Bullet Club with Finn Balor and be his like bodyguards and his muscle?
I could definitely see that. I mean, I'm like you. I hate the name Balor Club. I mean, especially if, like, you know, he joined, you know, those two join him, and that just, it's not going to come off well. I definitely think those two go to NXT. I know they're really high on Gallows, but, you know, to me, they're NXT guys for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're NXT guys, at least for a while. You know, it all depends on what happens with Finn Balor. Does Finn Balor go up? They may go up with him. If Finn Balor stays, they may stay there. But the one thing that's for sure, and I think you can agree with me, Shane, this is an exciting move. It's an exciting, you know, WrestleMania season is always exciting, and this acquisition of talent just makes it more exciting for me. All right, Shane, tonight we got a special guest. We got former WWE, former TNA, former WCW creative mind Ed Ferrara on the show. Ed, how you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome, Blake, and Shane, really nice to meet you. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, Ed, first thing off the bat, I mean, I know you teach at Full Sail. You live right around the corner from where NXT, which is just the, you know, basically the talk of pro wrestling right now. Am I correct, and you've never been to an NXT show?
I have never been to an NXT show. What I should have said was, okay, I'm going to give you an exclusive. I've been one booking everything in NXT, but no, it's not. No, I've never been to a show. I watch it on a regular basis, but I haven't been to any of the shows. I think I'm getting a little too old to stand on the lines for the tickets. That's for one thing.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you could get a free ticket, man. Come on, I know you could.
nah, who am I? What the hell? I'm just a teacher at Full Sail. I'm just one of the teachers there. So I got into it with Russo on his podcast about NXT at one point because he's not as much of a fan as I am, but also he was suspicious that I was whether or not I was telling the truth as to not having any involvement with NXT. He was suspicious that I actually was involved with it. Not really, but it was the fun little discussion we had one day.
All right, well, knowing you're a big NXT fan, at the, you know, right around, whether it's this time or right after Mania, the last couple of years, we always see guys come up to the main roster. Give me some guy, you know, a couple of performers you think can make a big impact on the main roster in 2016.
Well, I mean, the first NXT guys that jump off the page at me are Enzo and Cass. Especially because you've got, you know, there's so many of the NXT guys, you've got that stigma that they're a little smaller than a lot of the guys on the main roster. And Enzo is, but Enzo, that's kind of his gimmick. And Cass certainly does not, you can't say that about him. The fact that they are so over and they've got such personality and charisma, they to me are ripe for the picking for the main roster. And right now, I think, is the time to do it. Bring them in the Rumble. I mean, the Rumble is a perfect time to bring in a lot of people. But I think that Enzo and Cass are prime for it. They're kind of floating down in NXT right now, because I think it is just a matter of time before they show up. Other guys, you know, everybody talks about Balor, and, you know, I would like to see Balor come up just because, you know, he's not a 22-year-old kid, and I'd like to see him come up and have his prime when he's making the most money and the biggest impression that he can. He's doing phenomenal stuff down there, and I love his presentation, his character, his work is unbelievable. And I think that he could do something on the main roster if they let him. And that's the problem. It's not so much about who can make an impression. Anybody can make an impression if they're successful in NXT. Anybody can make an impression on the main roster. The problem is how they use them. And if they book them terribly and the creative is crap for them, then anybody is going to fall on their face. You know, I mean, I think that they set the Ascension up for failure as an example. And these are guys who were Overs monster tag team in NXT. Now, granted, NXT, they were the biggest kids on the in the block. On the main roster, they're not the biggest kids, but that doesn't mean that they're less than. But they were kind of viewed that way by creative, and they were presented that way. So I just think that it's not so much who, but how. And they can make anybody that they bring up from NXT, as long as they book them respectfully and book them intelligently, or they could destroy anybody. They could bring up Balor and have him have, you know, Ryback choke slam him through the table. And that'll be the end of it. Or Heath Slater, you know, to even be more you know, more current. You know, it just depends on how they use these guys, and that's what their problem is. I think that their creative has had a dearth of creativity for the past decade or so.
Well, yeah, and that's my fear with Balor. I'm almost in the mindset that I think Balor should stay, because I don't think that I agree with you 100%. You know, seeing that entrance and that creativity on such a grand scale would be awesome, but I don't think he would be used right. I don't think he would probably be more than a mid-card guy there. And NXT's on the verge, I think, at least, of maybe not touring every single week like Raw and SmackDown does, but touring a lot more. And I could see a day where they get off of the network and are on to cable TV so that they can make more money off of it, and you can make a really good living in NXT. If you're a guy like Balor who could be a major player, why not stay there and just be the guy that's associated with that brand, as opposed to just being, you know, Neville on another right. Neville on SmackDown?
Right, and that's what I would be afraid of. I would be afraid at this point if they brought up Balor, he would end up within 3 weeks being a tag partner for Neville. And that's about it. And Neville's another guy who just, you want to talk about the sky's the limit as far as what they could do with him if they got behind him. But it's just that stigma, because Vince just, you know, he has that fetish for the big man. And there's that stigma that he can't see it to put these guys over strong. If they're going to win, they have to steal the win. The other guy's got to slip on a banana peel, something like that. But it's so frustrating, because all they would need to do is decide, we're getting behind this guy, the same guy that the entire audience is behind. They don't know. They don't understand what they like. They'll eat what we feed them. But that's all they would need to do. And again, this is their property. These are their superstars, their characters. Why wouldn't they get behind them and make them all they could possibly be, as opposed to whittling away at what they have to get over guys who, quite frankly, aren't ever going to be who they imagine they are going to be in terms of the heights that they're going to reach?
So, Ed, you know, we talked about the creative process and how, you know, people kind of get lost on the main roster. Would you say in that, like, that transition, you know, that on NXT they're doing a way better job of telling who the characters are compared to the main roster? Like, you know who people are better on NXT than you do Raw?
Yeah, but I think a lot of that has to do with 1 hour versus 3 hours. You know, you've got a much shorter show, so it's not trying for your attention, your attention span. It's easy to watch an hour long episode of NXT. It's torture to watch a 3 hour and 20 minute episode of Raw. My personal opinion. But the thing is, so it's a simpler show. They have simpler stories and angles, so yeah, it's a lot easier to get it across and to do it in such a way that the fans don't feel like they're just watching matches that are filling time. Mm-hmm. That they're not going overly goofy with the vignettes and the promos like you would see some of the inanity you'd see on the main roster that we've seen for years and years and years. The stuff that kind of makes you the fan just, oh, come on, don't do that, because it just makes you kind of cringe when you're watching the stuff that they do and the logic that they put into it. So, yeah, I think that NXT, you have a better understanding of the characters because they're subtler. Now, I think they could do more. I think that you could do a lot more with the characters in NXT given a longer time frame, like a 3 hour Raw. You could definitely use a lot of those minutes in those 3 hours to get over more people than Roman Reigns. And I think that that's what they need to do. I mean, I think they need to concentrate on getting over Roman Reigns because that's the horse that they're backing. But I really think that they need to go back to the way that we used to do things, which is everybody needs to have a story. I mean, you got three hours and 20 minutes of TV time every week, and you're telling one story, maybe two stories in an episode. It's ridiculous, and that's you're begging the audience to click away. You need to give them a reason to care about everybody you're bringing out there, because the minute somebody comes out that they're like, oh, I'm not interested, what's on Pawn Stars? What's on Channel? What's on ABC? What's on Fox? And that's what they're facing, and they just don't seem to remember that the fans are sitting there. Just because Nitro isn't a couple of channels over doesn't mean that there isn't competition. So the fans are sitting there with the clickers in their hands, and they need to be aware and not give them an excuse to click away for a minute. But when you have matches that cut to commercial in the middle of the matches, or a 2-3 segment match, like I couldn't believe on Raw this week that they cut to commercial in the middle of the main event. That's something that we never did, never would do. Why would you cut away? If this is a world championship match, why would you cut away to a commercial? Give me a short segment earlier in that same hour, so that way you can have entrances, have a commercial break, and once that match starts, you don't cut away from it because it's too damn important to cut away from. But, you know, it's just, I get a sense of just... There's just laziness about the creative that there's been for quite some time. I'm seeing some improvements, but I'm not seeing enough. That's for sure.
Okay, in the vein of telling stories and in the creative, we got Royal Rumble that's coming up in just a couple of weeks. But I know that you for sure wrote the you were there for the 99 Rumble. Were you there for 98 also? What goes into writing a Royal Rumble match? Is there significant writing, or is it, okay, these two guys are fighting at WrestleMania, so they got to do something in the match, and then you leave that to the agent? I mean, from your job, what went into writing a Royal Rumble match?
Actually, from my standpoint and my experience, it was easy. And I'll explain why in a second. I'm not being arrogant. It was easy because pretty much all we needed to do back then was we knew who was going over and how. At the end of the Rumble, because that was our ticket to WrestleMania, who's going over and how, and then we would have a few spots throughout that we would book specifically. Beyond that, Pat Patterson. That's mm-hmm. why it was easy. We had Pat Patterson, and Pat Patterson every year would lay out the entire match. We would give him what we needed from it, but then Pat would do it all. So, I mean, I can't take any credit for anything from the standpoint of the way the Rumble match was built, because of the fact that Pat Patterson was the master architect who built that. We just told the architect, we want a little pool in the backyard here, and we want a nice pink hue on the walls in the nursery. He was the architect that put the whole damn house together.
So wow. Pat laid the whole match.
Yeah, Pat was incredible. Pat was usually the main event agent. And Pat was always Pat. Back when I was there, the matches that Pat always got was The Rock. Pat always worked Rock's matches. Sometimes he worked Austin's matches too, but that was kind of like his project. He loved working with Rock, and Rock was quite often in the main events. So Pat was always the main agent when it came to the creative wild ass angles and finishes and matches themselves.
So you said, you know, Pat, his favorite guy was working with Rock. Who was your favorite guy to work with?
My favorite guy to work with? There was a lot of them. I mean, I loved working with Mick. I always loved working with Glenn Jacobs, Kane, X-Pac. I got along very well with. And then, you know, when I went over to WCW, I always liked working with Kevin Nash. I mean, there's so many guys that I worked with and I got along with because that's kind of who I am. I'm the guy who I just want to, you know, show up to work and have a good time and work well with people and get along with them. Did I have problems with people in the past? Sure, I've had problems with them, but you know, it's a high stress job. There's a lot of money on the line. There's a lot of eyeballs watching what we're doing. So yeah, sometimes people will get very passionate about what they wanted to do or what they didn't want to do. And same can be said for me. So you know, sometimes things got heated, but I don't know. There really wasn't anybody that I really hated working with or that I can remember. I mean, maybe there are some, but I've blocked them out of my memory, so we'll just say that I can't remember any.
All right, Ed, before we let you go tonight, I got to put you on the hot seat. We just watched Raw last night, and Vince McMahon has stacked the deck against Roman Reigns. He's got to defend the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against 29 other guys in the Royal Rumble. It's a sticky situation from the fact that we're just getting Roman over, and now they're setting it up for a potential for the crowd to turn on him again. If you're writing the show, how's it going down?
If I'm writing the show, Reigns isn't winning. That's for sure. Because the thing is, you know, one of the problems with the creative lately has been the fact that nothing has been unpredictable. Nothing. There hasn't been that level of unpredictability. That's what I think. That's what I think Vince McMahon brought back with him when he came back a few weeks ago. The fact that feeling of anything could happen. That was probably the best episode of Raw that I've seen in years and years. Just because of the fact, and I'm not, you know, I'm not saying it's the best episode ever. I mean, it's just because it's been pretty bad for years and years. But that show, at least, it had that feeling of spontaneity and unpredictability, and anything can happen. And that's what we would always try and do, because you try and give the audience a reason to stick around. For years, the audience has just been sticking around because that's been a habit. So having Vince back brings that air of spontaneity back to the product. Now, they need to keep delivering on that spontaneity. They need to let the audience know that, yes, anything can happen. And that's what will keep them interested. Right now, by traditional booking standards, and especially the way that they had been booking the product for the past however many years, it's a fait accompli that Reigns is going to win the Royal Rumble. Or at the very least, if he's not going to win the Royal Rumble, he's going to be in the main event of WrestleMania. But it seems like Reigns would be set up to go over in the Royal Rumble and be the conquering hero, and then maybe that's when they bring out Brock to lay him out and then set up the main event for WrestleMania, which that seems to be logical. But the way I would do it, you know, I don't know who I would put over. I mean, it seems like Brock has to be in the main event at WrestleMania. He's, to me, the most, the only legit real deal monster that they have, and he still has that mystique. They've tarnished it a little bit. They've done with some stupid booking and things, you know, himself or Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble, things like that didn't do Brock any favors, but he still is the monster. And he's the one that people believe in, and that's what you need to capitalize on. Reigns, like you were saying, Reigns is in a situation now where they just took a step forward with him and finally got the crowd behind him, but now they're putting him in a situation where anybody who comes out there that the fans are into, they're going to cheer for them over Reigns. You know, Kevin Owens comes out. I bet you he'll get a huge pop. And these are guys that you know, they don't want to get over with the fans as much as they want Reigns to get over with the fans, but yet they're putting Reigns in a situation where they're risking what they've just built, and it's built kind of on shaky ground. And they, rather than shoring up the foundation, they're putting a trampoline on the roof. So, how I would book it, the only thing I can tell you is I certainly wouldn't have Roman win, because at least then the audience won't get that predictable finish for the Rumble.
There you have it. That's how Ed Ferrara would have it go down. Ed, we can't thank you enough for coming on tonight, man. Really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. And again, thank you so much for having me. When you reached out to me, Blake, I was like, absolutely. I know you're connected with my buddy Nick Hausman on WrestleZone Daily. And, he and I go back quite a few years. And, it was an honor to be asked to come on with you guys. So, Blake and Shane, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
And the next time you defend that championship, it'll be at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. It'll be you defending your championship against 29 other men in a Royal Rumble match.
Okay, Shane, we just heard what our special guest Ed Ferrara would do with the Royal Rumble, but we haven't even really talked about it yet. I mean, we went into the first Raw of the year, you know, thinking something big had to happen. The show wasn't that great, but they ended it with a bang, because Roman Reigns has to fight 29 other dudes to defend the WWE World Heavyweight Championship in the Royal Rumble match. I mean, you know, we talked about it with Ed. It's a little dicey, but it definitely makes the Royal Rumble worth watching now.
I never saw this coming. I didn't expect him to go this route, you know, especially as much as everything's really cookie cut now, as I've said many times, but I love the move. I think it's exciting. I think it adds a lot of intrigue to the Royal Rumble, more than there usually is. I can't believe they're kind of going this route. You know, I know Ed kind of touched on this too, you know, because if you get Roman, you know, you got him set up here where he's more likely going to be number one, and he's going to look dominant. He has to be number one.
I don't see any way this goes down without him being number one, because it would just be, if he goes in at like number 19, that's just weird. I mean, this is about stacking the deck. Mm-hmm. You have to stack the deck by bringing him in number one and making him truly go through all 29 guys.
Yeah, because it's basically just like a gauntlet match. It's a gauntlet match basically for the WWE title. I mean, basically is what it is. And I can't see him winning this, you know, because they can't pull the same thing they did with, like, say, Austin in 98 or even 99. I mean, you know, Austin was so hot then, he was so over, and, like, people wanted to see him destroy everybody. I don't think they really want to see Roman. I mean, they kind of do, but I don't think it's going to be the same effect.
Oh, I mean, I wrote about it today on CSRWrestling.com. If you to me, they have two choices. Try to make Roman into Brock Lesnar 2.0 and have him destroy everybody. But I think if you do that, the fans are going to turn on him again. Because if he throws out, you know, major stars like a Jericho that the fans love, or Kevin Owens that the fans love, or, you know, even Brock, they're going to turn on him. Which means you have to go to Plan B, which is screw him over. And whether some people don't like it, you know, or hey, our own CSR teammate Brian Gulish hates the idea, but Triple H is going to enter number 30, and Triple H is going to win the Royal Rumble and be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion again. You have to wrap your head around that, because I really think that's what's going to happen.
Well, unlike Gulish, I don't hate that idea. I mean, it's a little odd just because it's, you know, the COO holding the WWE title, and more than likely he's not going to defend it until probably WrestleMania. So it's almost like it's a guaranteed setup that he's just holding it to lose it to Roman, which we all know is happening anyway, but it's just, you know, it's just too obvious, I guess. But I could see another scenario, maybe, that there's going to be a little bit difference, maybe a different person winning. I doubt it, but I'm like you, it's probably going to be Triple H coming in and winning it.
Okay, what's the other scenario? I mean, here's my, like, I'm open to that, but Rock ain't winning. It's the same scenario if you do it with Rock, which I don't think's happening. You're not putting the title on Brock Lesnar and having him turn around and losing at WrestleMania. You're not. Bray Wyatt ain't getting in the main. You're not doing that to Bray Wyatt. He's never had the title before. You're doing it to somebody to turn around and have them drop it back to Roman at WrestleMania. That's what's happening.
Yeah, and no.
If you don't do it that way, you have absolutely ruined everything you've done with Roman, and you essentially have said Roman is not the guy, and we've given up on him. That's what that move is.
Yeah, again, the only thing I'm going with in this and that they might do differently, and then this is me just throwing a wild card out here. I could see, you know, because Triple H and Roman is built on so much, you know, it's just hatred. And, you know, that match can survive without the title, even though it's pretty much kind of about the title. It can survive without it. I could see
let's hold on right there. What's your title match at WrestleMania then?
Well, that's what I was getting at. With, again, this is a wild card, so bear with me here. With Bray doing this whole thing of him going after everybody right now, we've kind of heard sort of rumors of Bray maybe going after Brock. What if he, like, did that with Brock and took him out of the whole match, and they set up the title match that way? And, you know, it wouldn't be bad if Brock was in the main event.
I like that in principle, but then my response to that is, okay, so you're going to give Bray the title for 2 months and put him on that platform only to have him get destroyed by Brock at WrestleMania?
Well, I mean, who's to say, you know, maybe this isn't Bray's final, he gets a win for once. Who knows? Because, you know, I don't think that's the main event.
I mean, I agree. I think, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I think that's the great thing about what they've done is that it really does, I mean.
Yeah, we don't know.
Theoretically, it opens up Royal Rumble for so many options. Now, realistically, I think there's two. Either you take the risk of making Roman look unbeatable, or he gets screwed over by the man and you try to build just a massive sympathy on him so that he can have his Rumble moment or his Mania moment in 2 months. But maybe not. Maybe, you know, who knows what's going to happen. That's the intrigue behind it. But that's also the scary part because, this could be a really good move or this could bite WWE in the ass and they could, like we talked about with Ed a few minutes ago, they could have that Philadelphia moment again where the crowd, they go off the air with the crowd booing whoever wins out of the building.
Yeah, I the thing about this is there's no obvious move here, I don't think. I know you said there's two options. But, again, I just don't think there's an obvious, like, oh, well, every one of us saw that coming, that was going to happen, blah, blah. I mean, there's so much unpredictability here. That's what I love about it. So, again, you got to make sure it doesn't come back to bite them with the Roman thing, though. That's what they have to be careful about.
Okay, we'll make Rumble predictions, you know, the week before Rumble, but after we see this play out a little bit. But right now, you know, a couple days removed, I want to know right now, what do you think happens Royal Rumble night?
If I'm making my Wrestle Rumble, you know, predictions here, I've got to go with your idea there of having Triple H coming. If I'm a betting man here, that's what I'm going with. I'm going with Triple H coming in, screwing Reigns out, and, you know, he's holding the title. They're going to WrestleMania.
Okay, that's what you're betting on. What does Shane the fan want to see?
I want to see my Brock Lesnar Bray Wyatt idea. I want to see Bray Wyatt come in. I want to see him screw Brock out of it. You know, then somehow Roman gets screwed out with Triple H, and then Bray stand there the champion at the end.
Yeah, I could get behind that. I
think that would be fantastic. I mean, no one would see that coming.
My issue is I think it ruins what you've done with Roman. If you don't, If Roman doesn't get that's why I'm at where I'm at. If Roman doesn't get screwed over or Roman doesn't win, where is Roman left? He's left in the same position he was in last year, battling all the way back. But this time, I don't think he gets back.
Yeah, and another thing that's would be really bad here is that's a lot of title changes in a short amount of time. That's a lot of title changes. That's what I don't like about this. I mean, because, you know, you had Seth Rollins hold it for almost, you know, he was going on probably a year, and that's a lot of title changes. I mean, you know, you go from Roman, Sheamus back to Roman, Roman possibly losing again, then whoever losing WrestleMania. So that's a lot.
Very true. I mean, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. We got two more Raws before Royal Rumble to build this up to see. I expect Brock coming back Monday. Brock's going to announce he's in. I would like to see. You know, even if it's really just used to set up whoever he's going to fight at Mania, Taker needs to be in this. Cena needs to be in this. Mm. You know, I got some beef with Chris Jericho that we're going to talk about here in a minute, but Chris Jericho's in it. This is for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. You need to have star power, and then just that one mystery opponent, you know, Triple H at number 30. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. That's what I think is going to happen. We got 2 weeks to figure it out. One thing's for sure. Shane just said it. I agree. This Rumble is must-see. And that's why what they did Monday night was a good thing.
Oh, I'm out of the snow. Bullshit, 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 bullshit. No drinks for me, thanks. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit.
All right, you know what that sound means. It couldn't be a BS with CSR podcast without talking about the bullshit of the week. Shane, what's been bugging you this week?
It's, to me, no longer New Day rocks as I thought it was for a while. It's back to New Day sucks now. I'm sorry. They're kind of getting like overly annoying. I know they're heels. I know we're supposed to hate them. But it's getting to the point where it's just getting a little overdone now. And it's just really, and it's not even point I want to boo them. It's just, I just want to turn off the TV now. It's just, I mean, I hope they come back. I mean, first of all, I thought they were going to be faces like 2 weeks ago when, like, you know, everybody took them out and they were kind of doing like a face turn type thing. But they're just annoying. And that's BS to me.
I'm torn on this one because I agree with you. They are kind of getting annoying. But I think if you go back into the BS with CSR catalog, a few weeks ago, I began to tell you that New Day was getting annoying, and of course, you tried to tell me they weren't.
That's because I hate you, but you know, whatever.
I think what you really need to do is just listen to me and let me guide you in your wrestling ways.
Well, you know, I don't know about all that, but. No, I'm not agreeing with you. No, you're not getting over me on this week. No. I came up with this first. New Day sucks. Let's just get to it because they're awful now. The unicorn thing is kind of funny, and now it's
ridiculous, but it's awesome.
I mean, it's funny, but it's like now they're just saying stuff. I mean, this whole like acting out a play thing is just too much now. It's awful. I don't want to see any of that crap.
I don't know if he listens to our podcast or not, but if he does, you just absolutely assured that you will never be asked to do anything with Nick Houseman again because he loves the acting out of play aspect of New Day.
Yeah, I think I've heard him talk about that before. Nick, I'm sorry. My apologies, okay?
Well, you had a problem with New Day. I got a problem with the guy that interrupted New Day this week because, I mean, look. Okay, let me issue a disclaimer. I like Chris Jericho. I think Chris Jericho's great. He's a Hall of Famer. He's done all this stuff. Blah, blah, blah. I get it. But just go away. Stop coming back every 6 months. Stop coming back randomly, doing a match, going to play with Fozzy, coming back now to go to the Royal Rumble, doing your same bit you've done for the last 20 years. It's tired. It's old. Stop. Just, you know, all these people bitch about, oh, we're just doing, you know, trying to turn Roman into Stone Cold. You don't bitch when Chris Jericho comes back and does the same thing he's been doing for the last 20 years. Go away, Chris. The crowd didn't even really react to you outside of the countdown, you know, last night It ain't because it's San Antonio. It's because you're 50 and you're still dressing in a half shirt and a sparkly jacket, acting like the 28-year-old rocker that you were in 1999. The gimmick is old, dude. Just go away, please.
Okay, he doesn't look like, you know, a former rocker. No, he looks like a 45-year-old divorcee slut bag with his with his tight jeans, boots, and teased hair, and a halter top. No, you had that wrong, Blake. That was no, you're way off.
That might be the best line you've ever said.
Well, he does, okay? I mean, I'm getting confused at this point. Are you going to be hitting on me, you know, to raise your kids at this point? I mean, I don't know what you want from me, Chris Jericho, but all I know is you need to stop coming back. I love Chris Jericho. I did. I really did. I mean, he's some of my favorite matches ever, but your returns aren't that good anymore. I mean, the count
doesn't happen 3 times a freaking year.
Yeah, and like his last couple of feuds have been terrible. I mean, the Bray Wyatt one sucked. Again, I can't even remember the rest of them because if that tells you anything right there.
He has not done anything good since he was doing like WrestleMania 26 versus Edge.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you nailed it there. That's the last good thing that he did.
No, he did 28 versus CM Punk. That was the last thing he did good. Because the next year he wrestled Fandango, which was god-awful, and then he hadn't been in Mania since. Just, you haven't done anything good in years, dude. Quit. He's like one of those pro athletes that is going to stay around until he absolutely sucks, where everybody forgets everything he did that was good. So, don't turn into Hulk Hogan, dude.
So he's basically like former Dallas Cowboy Terrell Owens, right? Yeah, I took a shot at Blake there in case anyone doesn't know. So.
That doesn't even really bother me because he was like a Cowboy for like 2 years.
Yeah. Still, he was terrible, too. He's
more of a 49er.
He was terrible.
But anyway, that was dumb. But just go away, Chris. Just stop. Stop. Just stop, okay? Just stop. I don't want to see you anymore. Every time you come on my screen, I want to change the channel. I don't know, Shane. I feel good. I mean, you know, it's the first show we've done in weeks. I got a little bit of stuff off my chest. Got a little BS off my chest. I feel like I feel pretty good now. I feel relaxed. I think it's been a good show.
Yeah, it was a good show. We had a good guest. It's a good start to 2016 for BS with CSR, I think.
Well, that's going to wrap it up this week for us. Make sure you follow Ed on Twitter at TheEdFerraro. We can't thank him enough for jumping on the show. Follow Shane at SShoemaker24. Follow me at Blake Mitchamore. Make sure you're checking out CSRWrestling.com for our work each week, and we'll see you later.
This public service message was brought to you by your friends from D-Generation X, who would like to remind each and every one of you that if you're not down with that, we've got two words for you!